count it a privilege to be with you. Would indeed ask that you would continue in prayer, as is evident that you have been. And if you fall asleep, they do call this a place of rest. At least that would be evident that you're comfortable with me up here. So it might be a good sign of rest. Sometimes the scriptures give instruction. Sometimes they make a declaration. And it's not that we choose the one or the other, but hopefully that we choose both. Scripture said that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and we hear the sound thereof, but we know not whence it cometh or whither it goeth. But it says we hear the sound.
That's right.
Two things we don't. One thing we do. We hear the sound. That's a declaration. Very true. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, and it's recorded in a couple of other books, we have a parable often referred to as the parable of the sower. Somewhat of a declaration. Not so much instruction as it is a declaration. I think that maybe initially and maybe principally, at least at that particular time, that he was referring to those present at that time. However, so many things that the Lord spoke to them that were relevant to them is also to us. Thirteenth chapter and the third verse, if I might read a little. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some seeds fell among the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell among stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, and others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Several declarations in this scripture. One of the declarations is that a sower went forth to sow. The Lord is using a parable, and you would think that just anybody could understand what he's saying, wouldn't you? And yet, see, none of them did.
Yeah.
It seemed like that the most simple thing, that if God does not give us light, that it's a great mystery to us. You know, I was raised on a farm, and we always... We'd have ground prepared. And when we'd sow that ground, you didn't worry if some of the seed got out in the weeds. But you're really concerned that all the good ground got covered. You didn't really expect anything out of them seeds that fell outside. But you sowed. One of the great things about this, that the scripture is making reference, all of them are good seed.
That's right.
There wasn't anything wrong with seed.
You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And certainly, if we're looking at this as being a crisis ministry, there certainly wasn't anything wrong with the soul.
That's right.
But there's a lot of difference in the ground that it fell upon. One of the scriptures said of the good ground that it fell into. It's sad. It's sad to see men and women and children rejoice in the preached gospel. And their rejoicing seems to be such a short time. But that's a fact. That's a fact that the Lord faced, and it's a fact that the ministry since then has to face. We are not to be so discouraged about this. But we need to realize that it doesn't matter how much fell by the wayside. It doesn't matter how much didn't do what we would have it to do. What is wonderful, my friend, is that some fell upon good ground and it brought forth fruit.
Yeah.
And I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. I remember if we were coming up on the farm and the crops would be coming along good, we'd be getting the rains that we needed and everything just looked great. And Daddy would be talking about what a bountiful crop we're going to have. Well, to us that translated to a lot of word gathering. I didn't really care if we didn't make 2 bales of cotton an acre. But to him it was a wonderful thing. It was something that his labors had not been in vain. And that God had blessed us again. And my friend, when we see the blessing in the church of God, if it's just one child, how it overshadows. How it prevails over whatever disappointments we might have encountered along the way. Christ told them. You know, they questioned why he spoke in parables. They said, why don't you just talk so folks can understand what you're saying? So everybody will understand what you're saying. People still wondering that. Some of them trying to do something about it. That they printing Bibles so we can understand, you know. But you know, the Lord could have come up with a Bible like that to start with had that been in His purpose.
That's right.
That's right.
But He told them, it's given to you to understand. Now, I can assure you, my friend, that when God blinded the eyes of Israel, it was preceded by a great deal of rejection, by a great deal of blasphemy. When he come before his people, my friend, he did not come blinding them. He blinded them because of their unbelief, because of their unwillingness to accept him for what he was. But when he blinded them, they were blind. And no man on earth, my friend, no man on earth can remove that veil. But he can. Unto you it is given to know the mystery, but unto them it's not given. He would go on to say, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's a statement. That's not admonition. That's just you got ears to hear? Here. We know that they heard in an audible sense. My friend, they didn't really hear what he was saying. But he would go on and he would explain to the apostles that you would think they would have understood. But you see, so many things were hid from them in that time. When Christ was on earth, my friend, he was everything. He was everything to his people. He was the scripture. He was just everything to them. There'd come a time when he'd go and he'd send another comforter. But here he speaks to them. And in the 18th verse, he turns to his disciples. Hear ye, therefore, the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh that wicked one and catcheth away that which he hath sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. So many people, they don't understand. They hear the same words that you hear, but they don't understand. And my friend Satan is ready. He's there ready to take that. And we can't open eyes. And in the sense, my friend, that this scripture, this statement, this declaration is made, you and I cannot prepare that ground. I'm telling you, God prepares some ground, my friend. Right. And when He prepares ground, it can receive. And He removes the stones, my friend. It's no longer a stony place that's being sown. There's no stones in that field when he gets through with. There's no stumbling stone as it was to the Jew. There's no rocks of offense. There's just one rock, my friend.
Yeah.
And it's a cornerstone. People here, I see people that they come and they rejoice in the truth and truly, and yet it doesn't last. There's something missing. There's not enough foundation there for some things to really take root that will hold. I love the doctrines, the basic doctrines of election and predestination. You know, that's that kind of serves as a foundation. That's what we build on. It doesn't afford, temporally at least, it doesn't afford a whole lot of protection unless we build on it. But we have to build on it. That's what we build on. I'm not ashamed of the doctrines of election and predestination. I don't think it hurts God's people to hear this.
Absolutely.
But my friend, when we forget that, when we get to where we think that that's too primary or that might offend someone, then we've given up a whole lot more than we're going to get. The Lord was not ashamed to talk about this. The apostle was not. Paul, you know, we have several times where he recorded about his experience to Damascus. I wonder sometimes how many times he preached and brought that out. Probably a lot of them. He wasn't ashamed of that. He wasn't ashamed of these great doctrines, my friend, because if you take this away, then whatever else you believe, it just has no substance to it. It will not stand. Because there will be times that come in your life, my friend, when maybe these other things are not sufficient, when you just have to go back to the basics again, when you just have to back up and start. But if you don't know where to go to back up and start over, then you're in bad shape. If we ever forget. As you've already heard, you've always been God's child. You have never been a child of the devil. You may have been in awful bad shape as a child of God, but you always belong to Him.
That's right.
And you always will.
Always.
That's basic. That can be. You can build on that. Verse. He that receives seeds among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You know, our purpose, our objective ought to be fruitful. We ought to bear some fruit. There ought to be something in our life when our life is over. We ought to have some sense, my friend, that we have borne some fruit, that we have in some way magnified the name of God, that we have assisted His people in some way. I cannot imagine a child of God coming to the end of his life and just looking back and cannot feel that he's been of some service to somebody. Deceitfulness of riches. We've heard a good lesson on that, so we don't need to go into that anymore already this morning. People bring forth different quantities of fruit, not necessarily different quantity, but quality. I'll get it right in a minute if I can get my tongue straight now. There was a little woman one time that approached the temple. And she cast in just almost nothing. It just wasn't hardly anything. And the Lord called his disciples and said, "Come here. I want you to see this. Did you see this little woman? You see what she's cast in?" He said, "She cast in more than all them others put in the chest. She cast all that she had." My friend, God has never asked more of us. God has never required more of us than what we have. Never has. And He may require more of you than He does of me, or vice versa. But I tell you this much. I don't think that little woman ever missed a meal in her life. Christ said, "There's nobody that has given up anything for my name's sake, except they've received it 100-fold. Now that's not a promise. If you give $10 to church next week, you'll get 100. We're not talking about something that carnal and that foolish, my friend. We're talking about a service to Him. That if you serve me, that whatever you bear, whatever burden you bear, whatever trouble you endure for my name's sake, that you'll come out the better for it." And that's what we want to do. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. I can't be like him in a lot of ways, but there's one way I want to be like him. When my time comes to die, I want to feel good about some things. I won't feel like that. I've kept something. I know I haven't had a perfect life, and I won't. But I won't feel like that I've kept something. I won't keep that belief. I won't keep my confidence in Him. And I want people to know that. I want them to see. Maybe they don't know where, maybe they don't know why, maybe they don't know what the Spirit's done or where it's gone or what. But I want them to know. To the honor of God Almighty, I want them to know. God's been merciful to that man.